Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Tribute Center here at Car Talk Plaza. You know, sometimes you just have to tip your hat to somebody. A few weeks ago, I was sitting at a diner having breakfast one morning, and I happened to be reading, I don't know why, the obituaries.
Yeah.
And I started reading this obituary, and I immediately called my brother and said, grab the Boston Globe and read this obituary in the right-hand corner.
Well, it turns out to be on page B5. Theodore Teddy Green dies at 82. From the 1940s to the 1960s, Mr. Green was Boston's most flamboyant felon. In 1953, he escaped from Charlestown State Prison by hiding in a sealed crate filled with rags. He was captured 5 days later in Hackensack, New Jersey. Now get this. Now it gets good. This is a quote. I told the FBI, geez, am I glad to see you guys. The last thing I remember is being at my sewing machine in Charlestown State Prison, and I guess I must have blacked out because I thought I was Eddie Parker of Hackensack. And it just dawned on me this minute as you guys were closing in that I'm actually Teddy Green. I was just about to call you and tell you to come and get me. It goes on to say, he was actually in Alcatraz. A guard in Alcatraz was inspecting his cell and fell into a tunnel that Mr. Green had been digging. Confronted by the evidence, Mr. Green said, damn termites. I mean, this is an interesting guy.
Oh, yeah.
And don't you wish that when you finally go to that big used car lot in the sky that they can write an obituary as entertaining as this for people to read?
I can only hope that Tom Lehrer, we have to send a copy of this.
We'll write a song
about
it.
We'll write a song about it.
Well, the most interesting part of it all, and this is maybe the most curious part, is that after many, many years, he gave up a life of crime.
Indeed.
And you know what he ended up doing?
Yeah, what do you think?
He became a used car salesman. Now, that's the kind of training that these guys should have.
Exactly.
You get these amateur used car salesmen, they don't know how to steal. Teddy Green knew it all.
He did indeed.
Well, Teddy Green, wherever you may be, you've made our day.
What a guy.
Teddy Green, what a guy.
If you want to talk to us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Oh, 8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
No one will ever call us
Never.
Again. Hello.
Hi, guys. This is Andy in Alpharetta, Georgia.
Alpharetta?
Alpharetta.
I love it.
It's this side of paradise.
No kidding.
Oh, yes. Lovely here.
Great. So
great.
What's going on, Andy?
Well, help me out, guys. My wife has a 3/4-ton Suburban with the 7.4-liter V8.
Oh, my.
Well, I'm tired of getting thank you notices from the gas stations around town.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what the heck did you expect?
And this is just kind of a point of curiosity, a little consumer advice, I guess, on your part is, lately, I have heard a lot of ads for these aftermarket, high-tech, electronic ignition systems that you plug all the wires in, and 5 minutes later, you've got great gas mileage and increased performance in your car.
Yeah, you already have that. They tried that already.
Yeah.
And what do you get for mileage? About 6?
We stopped counting. I don't even think it's double digits.
Yeah. Oh, no, double digits. You might get double digits downhill.
Yeah, with a tailwind.
With a tailwind. Other than that, you're definitely in single digits. The question is, are you below 5 or not?
Well, you know, they put a 42-gallon tank in, so...
So you can get
it. You never know.
You can at least get to grandmother's house.
Right.
Yeah, a 40, really? You have a 42-gallon tank?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Well, why do you have a 7.4-liter engine, which is like 500 cubic inches by my calculations?
Just her quest for more power and torque when she's out cruising the highway with that big horse trailer behind her.
Oh, the horse.
Oh, the horses.
Oh, yeah.
See, we Americans are a little peculiar. I mean, most people that have a horse use it as the means of transportation. And we feel that we should be taking the horses out for like a Sunday drive.
Out for a ride. That's an interesting idea.
There you go.
Well, I don't know what this miracle device is that you want to install on the car. I mean, can you elaborate?
Sure. Yeah, it's a set of what they call kind of a high-tech spark plug wires, a super coil, and then some sort of little computer gizmo that keeps it all hanging together.
What
does
it cost?
To optimize the spark and the efficiency.
$99. No. I'm sorry. $139.95.
Well, less. Normally it was $650, but today they were going to give it to me for a mere $450.
Yeah, and if you installed this, I would say it would take close to 900 years for you to pay off that device.
Yeah, that's about what I came up to. Yeah.
Get another gas credit card and not worry about it.
I mean, you already have pretty high-tech and high-energy ignition on this vehicle already. I can't imagine that they can really get the electrons to flow much faster than 186,000 miles a second. Don't forget, they were embarrassed when they road tested this and it got 7.7 miles to the gallon, so they pulled out all the stops already.
So I'm already fuel efficient.
You are already about as fuel efficient as you're going to get, and I think you'd be spending the money foolishly. Although I'd like to see somebody buy it and see if it really does anything, and that might have to be you, Andy.
Well,
$450 is the wrong price to charge for a device like this.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, what they should be doing is selling something in a bottle that costs $7.
That says miracle on it.
That says the word miracle on it, and you'd have to put it in like every week.
Well,
but the $450 price tag is genius. Because if it were $99, you'd figure what?
It's not worth it.
But for $450, you say, geez, these guys got to have a lot of chutzpah
to charge $450
for this thing if it doesn't work.
But see,
it must work.
But for $8.39 a week, you could get the $450 every year.
Yeah, but if it didn't.
And everyone would convince himself.
But if it didn't work, you'd only get the $8 once.
Oh, but it always works.
You think so?
Because you know what happens, don't you? When you put in $8.39 worth of stuff.
Oh, you add volume to the fuel. All you're really putting in is a bottle of gasoline.
Yeah, a bottle of gasoline.
There you go.
That's right. And you end up getting better gas mileage. This is a brilliant marketing.
Save your money, Andy.
We'll see you on down the highway then.
Get lighter horses.
More credit cards.
All right.
Good luck.
See you later.
See ya.
But you've got a brilliant idea about the stuff in the bottle. If it were just a bottle of gasoline,
be good enough.
And you sold it. You said, put a gallon in. And you put some pink dye in it. Right away, you're dividing by a smaller number. Because you go fill up and it takes a gallon less.
There you go.
And you say, I'm doing better. I'm going to try it again. Yep. Another $8.39.
We could sell it in big
bottles. We could sell a gallon of gas for $8.39, which is the price it ought to be.
Brilliant! 1-8.
We're on to something. We don't have to waste our time doing this stupid radio stuff anymore.
It's a million-dollar idea.
It's a million-dollar idea.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
K-E-R-R. Don't tell us how to spell it. Just tell us where you're from.
Okay, I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
K-E-R-R-Y.
Close. I. K-E-R-R-I.
Oh, you moved from California. You weren't born in Columbus, Ohio with a name like K-E-R-R-I.
You're right. I was born in Kansas City, Missouri.
No, that doesn't
work
either.
That's
even worse. Anyway, what's up, Carrie?
Well, I have a 97 Subaru Impreza Outback Sport. Mm-hmm. My brakes are making sort of a grinding noise. It sounds like metal-to-metal grinding when I first apply the brakes, even on a small incline.
Like,
yeah, I mean, it sounds like metal to metal, like I need my brake pads changed.
Yeah, but you don't. You've had them checked, and they've assured you that they're okay.
Exactly. They told me there was dust in there and that I was, you know, just being nutty and that there was no problem at all. And so, you know, I didn't believe them. I thought they were nutty. And so I went ahead and had the brake pads replaced and had them changed to semi-metallic rather than metallic.
Mm. So these pads that you put on were not from Subaru?
Right.
All right. And so you thought that because you were reducing the metal content of the brakes that
the,
you would
the
reduce
metal
the
metal on metal sound would go away.
So it should be about half, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're what, semi-metallic? Is it?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, is it about half?
Yeah, it's about half. No, actually, it didn't change at all.
Didn't change at all?
No.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't worry about it because you know that there's nothing wrong with the brake pads. Obviously, there was nothing wrong with the ones you took out.
Right.
And you can choose to try to live with the noise.
Wait, so if that's true, we go back a few steps. The guys at the shop thought she was crazy. She thought they were crazy. So we've just assured her that it was her that was crazy.
Well, I was trying to break it to her gently.
Yeah, you know. Okay.
Yeah, so
just wanted to make the point clear.
Well, you're not crazy. I mean, you're hearing the noise, but I think you were crazy to have changed the brake pads.
For no reason.
For no reason. And the truth is that some cars just do this. And you can, there are certain chemicals that you can actually immerse the pads in that can cut down this noise. But it's only temporary. And we have some cars where we've never been able to get rid of it. And it's especially bad if the car sits for a day or two.
Right. Well, you know, it seems to happen more often when I first pull the car out of the garage. And what's really peculiar, I think, is that I have a friend who has a 99 of the exact same car, and her brakes make the exact same noise.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I just initially thought, you know, that one day I was going to be headed down a hill and go careening into someone's front door.
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay, well then.
The brakes will work perfectly fine.
Okay.
It has nothing to do. And
so if you can live with the noise.
Even if the pads were worn out, the brakes would still work perfectly fine for a while. They work great. Metal on metal is great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it beats a foot out the door.
It does beat a foot out the door. So don't worry about that. You're not going to go careening into someone's front living room.
And I would recommend that when you get in the car in the morning, that the first thing you do after starting the engine is that you turn the radio on.
Turn it up really loud.
Turn it up really loud.
For that first few minutes.
If you listen to the stuff my son listens to, nuclear explosions could be going on around your car and you wouldn't hear them.
Okay. Well, that's good advice. Thank you very much.
See you, Kerry.
Don't worry. Everything's fine.
Be happy.
All's right with the world.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi. This is Eric from Livermore.
Eric.
Yes.
From Livermore?
Uh-huh.
Livermore as in Lawrence Livermore Laboratories?
As a matter of fact, yes, I was there today.
Really?
Where?
I don't work there. No, I'm an upholsterer, but they need their chairs done. So.
Oh, we have an upholsterer, too. Paul Murky is our upholsterer. Oh, he's a pollster. I'm sorry.
He's a pollster, not an upholsterer.
Yeah.
What's up, Eric?
I have an 87 Dodge Maxi Van, probably one of the finest handling 15-passenger vehicles you can find.
Yeah, I guess that you might be right.
Yeah. There's only two. You only got that or Ford. Actually, I'm selling it. I'm buying a Ford. But the trouble is that it seems to, when I step on the gas, it's fine when it's cold, and it's fine when I just stomp on the gas. But with anything in between, when I'm just cruising down the road, I can hear a like something. It sounds like one of those an electrical.
Like a solenoid?
Like
clicking in and out?
A solenoid kicking in and out, and when it does that, my radio goes on the fritz, and I can hear all the staticky crackling, and the truck or the van just bucks.
No kidding.
All over the place.
Is the radio the only thing that's affected, the only accessory?
No, as a matter of fact, the dashboard lights were acting kind of weird a while back, and it blew two fuses in a row, and then they've been fine for like a couple of weeks.
Ooh.
And then when I'm trying to start it, because it'll start, so it stops for a second, and then whenever that happens, which isn't all the time, but when that happens, I flip on my radio and all the presets on the radio, the digital radio, are back to whatever they, you know.
Yeah, like the stations that don't exist.
Yeah,
like 5:30 a.m.
5:40 a.m. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Switches to what do they call that? The Conrad stations.
Yeah, they talk louder because I can't hear them. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's a good clue.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think it's a good clue.
I think it's a good clue because that's...
If only I knew how to apply.
Well,
now my daughter tried helping me because it sounded like it was that solenoid switch or whatever was coming from, like under the dashboard.
Well, I think the solenoid sound is a red herring.
Oh, really? Because as that is happening, it does it in. You know, it jives with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Probably is true, but I suspect that the real problem, when you hear the solenoid is kicking in and out because you're losing power elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
top of it.
Have you had any major work done under the hood?
Well, yeah, I got a new engine.
There you go. They left off a ground wire when they put the thing back in.
Good question, Frank.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, and I know because I've done it about 45 times. Well, not this week. I haven't done it. But it's something that's
easy to do.
Okay.
That's right.
And that would explain everything.
That does explain
there has
everything.
To be a ground wire that unifies all the grounds. In other words, puts them all at the same ground potential.
Yeah, because you got the battery that's sitting there, and it's got a negative terminal coming out of
it. Don't get too heavy into the theory. Just tell them the ground wire's off, and that's it.
But we'll get rid of them.
We'll get someone else off. Maybe we can answer his question.
The engine is at one ground level. The body is at another ground level, all of that has to be tied together.
Everything has to be at ground zero.
I got a bad ground between where and where.
But it doesn't matter.
There's a ground strap I suspect they left off between the engine and the chassis.
Yep.
Ah.
And you don't have to find it. All you have to do is run a new one.
Okay, I can do that.
Just tell them to run a ground strap from the engine to the body, and all the problems will go away. This is a guarantee.
And your mileage will improve from
alternator in the body.
Your mileage will improve from 0.7 miles to the gallon up to
56.
Talk about terrible gas mileage.
Oh yeah.
Drop, you know.
So that's the finest handling 15 passenger vehicle.
I just ordered a Ford big old long honking van.
That'll be the second finest handling.
Run a ground strap and you'll be all set, Eric.
Great. Well, thank you ever so much. That'll save me some money, I think.
See you later. Cool.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
Do I remember last week's puzzler?
You don't remember diddly, do you?
Diddly who?
That's what I thought. Well, it's a touching story of love and personal magnetism. It's the story of Krusty's fifth wedding, and I'll have the details in just a minute.
I can't remember it.
I didn't think so.
I got me plenty lingerie. Oh, so lacy and black. I want a 20 horse parlay. It's a positive fact. Now all I need is a solid gold Cadillac.
And even though NPR interns tweak their resumes and move NPR just below babysitting experience whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit on how much you can earn. It's amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/match2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
On NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast, we talk about movies, music, and more, like why The Great Pottery Throwdown is a comforting binge watch, and a look back at some of Chadwick Boseman's essential performances. All of that in around 20 minutes every weekday. Listen now to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. This is the heartwarming story of Krusty's fifth wedding, or sixth, or something, I don't remember exactly. Krusty, of course, you may remember, was a former employer of ours at the garage, and he was on his way to meet his bride at a chapel quite a distance from home. I think it was in Unadilla, New York, in fact.
That's quite a distance from everything.
And she had already warned him, if he's late, the wedding's off. So he fires up his most reliable car, his 65 Falcon, and makes his way across Massachusetts onto Route 7 in New York.
Yeah.
Famous Route 7.
I remember it.
Okay. Anyway, all's right with the world when all of a sudden the car backfires, cuts out and coasts to the side of the road, and he immediately figures out that his points have burned out, and he says, ah, geez, I should have changed those before I left. If only I had another set of points. As luck would have it, he opens the glove box, and there's a shiny new set of ignition points sitting right there. Wow. And furthermore, his entire toolkit is in the trunk.
Wow.
I mean, what serendipity, huh?
Wow.
Of course, his toolkit consists of a screwdriver, a jackknife, and a hammer. So he opens the hood, takes off the distributor cap, and proceeds to remove that little screw that holds the breaker points.
I remember it now.
He deftly removes the screw, and he installs the new points. And as he is putting the screw back in, he drops it. And where does it go? Inside the distributor.
Everyone has had this happen to him.
And of course, he can't get it out. He can see it. He can even touch it with the screwdriver, but he can't get at it. And he knows that he's done for. So he runs to the trunk and finds what you normally find in a trunk. Salami sandwich, the bumper jack. And he first thinks of jacking up the car and tipping it on its roof, but dismisses that because he thinks it might ruin the paint. He also finds a 50-pound bag of Iams dog food.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with Ewam's dog food. A junky old lamp that he bought at a yard sale. That was going to be the wedding present for his bride. And a gallon of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
Using one or a combination of these items, plus his toolkit, he manages to extricate the screw in a matter of seconds, maybe minutes, certainly. And he doesn't tip the car over. How did he do it? So he had, you ready? Salami sandwich, bumper jack, 50-pound bag of dog food, an old lamp, and a gallon of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil, and, of course, his toolkit, the screwdriver, the jackknife,
and
the
hammer.
Wow. What does he do? What does he do? What does he do?
I have to say, I'm baffled by this one. I'm baffled. But I know it's going to be great.
You do, huh?
Yeah. Well, I remember now when you stated this puzzle last week, I said it must have something to do with the lamp.
You're right.
But I couldn't figure out
what. You couldn't figure it out.
Nah.
He takes the lamp cord, realizes that this isn't going to be his bride's wedding present after all. And he cuts the cord.
With the knife.
With the knife. He then bares, with his jackknife, he then bares the ends of the cord so he has a wire with the insulation removed.
Yeah.
He then wraps that lamp cord around the screwdriver and touching the bare ends to the battery. And turns his screwdriver into an
electromagnet.
And in the second he pulls out the screw, and before the lamp cord catches fire, he installs the screw, sets the points, and he's 2 hours late for the wedding. She was gone when he got there. But he did make it. You know, I mean, the moral of the story is that you can make it if you have to, but he was a little late.
Wow.
So that's it.
Electromagnet.
Who would have thought, right?
Beats me. I do know. I know that Adrienne Overman from Concord, North Carolina figured it out. And for having her correct answer chosen from among the two correct answers that we got this week, she's going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which, as you know, she can get 1¾ copies of our best-selling marital counseling CD, Men Are From GM, Women Are From Ford, all about couples and cars.
Indeed.
1¾ copies. This is the most brilliant marketing strategy anyone has ever devised. We give people $25 and nothing costs $25.
This is brilliant.
I mean, I taught marketing for 40 years.
Yeah, you didn't come up with
this. I never came up with this.
Well, that's why they drugged you out of the field.
Man.
Anyway, we'll have a new...
It's like when you get those free... We get a free vacation.
Yeah, one night, 7 days. I'm still working on it. Anyway, we'll have a new puzzle still to come, so stick around for that. In the meantime, you can call us about your car. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chris in Dallas.
Hi, Chris in Dallas.
Chris!
So what's up, man?
Well, I have a very old car.
How old?
Well, it's a 1959 Plymouth Belvedere.
Oh, yes. I remember them well.
I wasn't around in 59.
Well, yeah, where were you? You were in Virginia.
I was in reform school, so I don't remember the 59s.
The 59 Plymouth Belvedere, this is the only car that seats four across.
Yeah, it's great to go to the drive-in movies in it.
Oh, because there are no more drive-in movies, but...
but they're still off 59.
If they come back, you'll be ready,
you'll
Chris.
You'll be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, so What about it?
Well, I've kept it up pretty nicely, and I haven't driven it much in the last 15 years, usually just to club functions and shows and weddings.
I'm the same with my 63 Dart. I just take it to shows.
Yeah.
Saw Good Will Hunting recently. That was one of the shows I took it to. Yeah, so you don't drive it much.
No,
sorry to interrupt.
But I go to weddings, and they don't throw rice anymore. They throw bird seed to keep sparrows from exploding in midair or whatever. And there's always somebody who happens to throw just another handful in the car as you pull away. But my problem is a lot of this got thrown into the fresh air vent in front of the windshield. And whenever I put it up for the long 40-day Texas winter, I don't drive it, I had it covered, I found that my garage leaked through the car cover and spawned this garden of wildflowers.
And so this stuff is growing up through the little vent?
Yes, and it's about as tall as it was as tall as the windshield. I took pictures of it, but I pulled them all out. But the roots are stuck in there, and when I turn the fan on, chunks of roots fly out of the fresh air vent.
Yeah.
There was also last spring I was dating a lady who had a son who didn't like me very much, and while I had the car parked, he stuffed 4 bricks of blue cheese in the car at different places, evidently 2 of them down the fresh air vent.
Oh, this kid needs a wedgie. Who is this kid?
Wow, what a little brat.
Oh, yeah.
Ever a kid needed
He needs an atomic wedgie. You know what an atomic wedgie is? One of those where the waistband goes up over your head.
And it smelled bad. It smelled like a hot day at the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. Short
boy,
of taking the windshield out.
Boy.
Well, taking the windshield
out. That ain't going to help you.
Well, if I take the windshield out, then I can take out the dashboard. And
don't do that.
No.
You'll be sorry you did that.
Here's what you do.
I know what to do.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. You're the older brother, and you should be allowed to embarrass yourself first. I think you should leave him. I mean, anyone could have a 59 Belvedere, but not anyone could have one with stuff growing out of the collar.
Yeah, that'd be a real showstopper.
It certainly would.
You could be the flower car.
The flower car. Chris and the flower car.
If you really want to get rid of them, I would go to your garden center.
Exactly what I was going to recommend.
And I would buy
Weed killer.
The smallest bottle of Triox.
There you go.
Vegetation killer. Who makes that? Ortho.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is deadly stuff.
Well, this has radioactive isotopes.
Wait, does it kill people?
It kills everything.
Are people considered vegetation?
Well, I don't know. You might have to call the man. You might have to talk to their chief chemist, Igor, to see if, in fact,
yeah, Igor had a little problem.
Yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would just try to kill the stuff using whatever you would use to kill weeds or other stuff.
Triox is...
That's one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, most weed killers are pretty selective. They will kill only a few. So you could put a weed killer in there and kill half the stuff, and the other things would be immune to it.
But there is a danger because you're going to be blowing this stuff through the ventilation system.
Triox kill everything.
Kills everything, including passengers and drivers.
Well, most of it is dead, and a lot of it's gone, but I still have this stuff that has settled into the bottom, and it's the smell that I need to get rid of.
No, you're going to have to get into the heater system. You're going to have to somehow get someone to cut it open with a oxyacetylene torch.
Yeah, because that is not going to go away.
Ever.
It does not decompose.
Well, was this imported blue cheese or domestic?
It was blue.
It was blue.
Yeah.
Because the domestic stuff has a half-life of about 95 years. The important stuff might be there, you know,
forever.
Well into the next millennium.
Yeah, well, it's also a great fertilizer for wildflowers.
I mean, you can see some of the ductwork. Because that's such a big car. There's a lot of room under that dashboard. I can't remember
it
exactly.
This is also a car with factory air conditioning, and there's a lot of stuff that's in the way. And I've had most of it out, but... I'm also wondering if I put chemicals, is that going to promote any rust? This car has no rust on it.
Yeah, you might have to be careful with chemicals. You're going to have to cut that thing open. And you need to take it to a shop. They'll cut it open with the whizzer. And they'll give you access. And then you can glue it back on.
Yeah, I mean, if you have access to one end of it, you'll be able to either reach through or put something in there to get to most of it and drag it out through the hole.
Yeah, and this is also a trap for whenever it rains, it leaves and dust and dirt and everything is also a trap. So it probably had pretty good soil for that stuff to grow.
Well, Chris,
you've got you'll be spending many a weekend with your head under that dashboard, I can tell.
Yeah. I was afraid of that.
Good luck, brother.
Thank you.
Bye.
A little brat put blue
cheese. Oh, yeah, he needs a wedgie. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chelsea calling from Oakland.
So what's up, Chelsea?
Well, I've got my dream car is having a little bit of a problem. I have a 49 Chevy pickup.
No kidding.
No, I'm not. I have a very patient husband. And I swapped out the carburetor, and it ran great for about a week. And then it began to die if I let up on the accelerator at all.
What did you do to the carburetor?
Swapped out.
Oh, you swapped it out.
So I thought you
said swapped out.
It actually makes me sound like I know what I'm doing.
So you were the swappee.
I was the swapper.
A swapper, rather.
Yeah.
The carburetor was the swappee. Where'd you get the swappee?
I got it out of a catalog that deals exclusively in 1940s Chevys.
Oh, okay. So you bought a rebuilt one.
A rebuilt one.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it, okay.
So you put this carburetor in.
Yeah, and it ran like a dream. I couldn't believe I'd actually done it right.
For how long?
About a week.
It's not bad.
I was pretty happy.
How much was the carburetor?
$250 bucks.
About $150 bucks.
Those carburetors used to cost $9.
Well, that was 1949.
And for another 11, they gave you the whole truck.
A loaf of bread was only 7 cents then.
So. And you did nothing else besides put the carburetor in?
No, that's all I did. I hooked it up exactly as it had been hooked up, and it just started right up, and I couldn't believe it.
And why did you want to replace the carburetor in the first place? What was wrong with the old one?
It just hadn't been running well, but the original owner who sold it to me told me that it needed one.
How long have you had it, the truck?
About 4 years.
49.
And now is it running as badly as it did with the old carburetor?
No, it's still running better, but it dies if I let up on the accelerator, and so I took the oil bath filter off, started it up, and gas is just pouring out of the carburetor.
Yeah, just as I thought. Here's what happened.
Huh?
You got a bad rebuild.
Oh, I did.
You did. You need to call them up and have them send you another one. These carburetors have a brass float. No, there's a float in the carburetor that controls how much gasoline is in the float bowl.
She wasn't being no good.
And there's a pinhole in it.
It works just like the float in your toilet bowl.
Okay.
And well, toilets don't have those kinds of...
No.
Toilets have gone high tech.
They have. Well, they're fuel injected.
You remember the old days when you could lift the cover off the tank and there would be this rod with a ball on the end of it?
My toilet still has that.
And back in the old days, those balls, in fact, on toilets used to be made out of copper. Or brass.
Yeah, I remember.
And they were
just like inside that carburetor of yours.
In fact, that's where they got the idea for the carburetors. And in fact, when the thing, as the level rose, the ball would float to the top and it would shut off the valve, the little metering valve there.
That allows gasoline to come into that float bowl.
And you would use the gasoline as the carburetor needed it, depending upon your speed. But your float has got a little hole in it.
So it sinks.
It's sinking.
And when it sinks, the valve stays open all the time, so the thing is constantly being flooded. I'm surprised that you don't see black smoke coming out the back.
Now, when you say there's gas pouring out of, you can actually look in the top of the carburetor and see extra gas pouring in.
Yeah, it seems to be just running out everywhere. In fact, mostly coming from the seam where there's a gasket.
Yeah. Exactly. That's it, exactly.
Yeah, okay. I would call them up and tell them to put another one in the mail.
Okay.
So what do you do for fun?
She drives a truck.
Why are you driving a 40? I mean, I know it's kind of cool, but these really drive like trucks.
They really do. I love it.
Oh.
I mean, I'm up high. What I do for fun is I'm a budding welder, and I live in a real industrial area, which is why I need my truck so badly. I got to drive around looking for scrap metal and
things
like that.
Are you an artist welder?
Yeah, I'm an artist welder. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm just starting out.
Is the truck red?
No.
No.
It's bright blue.
Really?
Oh, good paint job?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. I got it from the original owner, and he even after I'd paid for it, he couldn't let go of the truck.
Was he hanging onto the bumper as you drove away?
Yeah, he was crying. It was the saddest thing.
Oh. Was he the original owner?
That's what I believe,
Bought it new in 1949?
That's what I think.
No kidding.
So.
Boy, his butt must be killing him.
Well,
I don't know, but
great.
I know mine is.
Oh, yeah. Well, enjoy it. Get yourself another carburetor, and you'll be back in traffic in a couple of days.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's bad news for Oakland, but good news for me.
See you, Chelsea.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Tommy, it's that time of the show again.
Oh, is this the part of the show where the NPR orchestra plays a light, tasteful intermission rondo to ease us into the station break?
No, this is where Dougie gives us dope slaps and hits the tape machine.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute. Even though IRS agents challenge us to a popularity contest whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR and Car Talk sponsor CarMax. Finding the right car takes time, and with the new Love Your Car guarantee from CarMax, you can take your time to make sure you found the perfect car for you. Starting with a 24-hour test drive, drive it to work, school, and the grocery store before you buy, and if it feels right, you've got a full month and 1,500 miles to keep on driving with their new 30-day money-back guarantee. Learn more at the new Love Your Car guarantee from CarMax at CarMax.com.
The news is about more than what just happened. You need to know why it happened, who made it happen, how it's felt in the communities you care about. NPR's daily news podcast, Consider This, gives you all of that with context, backstory, and analysis on a single topic every weekday. It's not just information, it's what the news means. Consider This from NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Yeah.
Now,
you got one?
I have a vague recollection that many years ago I used this puzzler, but.
So what?
First of all, I can't really remember.
So it doesn't matter.
Well, so I thought, what the heck?
Yeah.
An off duty policeman.
I remember it. No, I don't.
An off-duty policeman is working as a night watchman in an office building.
I remember it.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about it. And he's doing his rounds, and he comes to a closed door, and behind the door, he hears voices. He hears people talking, and an argument seems to be taking place, raised voices, and he hears one of them say, "No, Frank, no, don't do it. You'll regret it." Bang, bang, bang. He bursts through the door. What does he see? A dead man on the floor.
And the proverbial.
And the proverbial what?
Smoking gun.
And in the room are three living people. A minister.
They're all named Frank.
A doctor and a plumber. He walks over to the minister and says, "You're under arrest. You have the right to remain silent, and I don't remember anything else." How does he know that it was the minister that pulled the trigger?
I like the name. It was a convention, and
convention
everyone had names.
Hi, my name is Frank. And I'm armed.
And I'm the guy who just shot.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or a piece of ripe fruit. And mail your correspondence to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Oh,
Cambridge!
I'm sorry. Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your ripe fruit to us from cartalk.com if you'd like to call us about anything. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Derry calling from Red Lodge, Montana.
Derry?
Derry, yep.
How do you spell that?
D-A-R-I.
D-A-R-I.
Oh.
Dari. See, I would...
I would call it.
See, on the East Coast...
We would say Dari, but
Dari,
you say,
not to convince you with the place
she
that
she can say it any way she wants. Well, it's not your name. It's her name.
I'm trying to help out here, but I wouldn't want to confuse you with some place where cows that give milk are kept.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm from Massachusetts, and so my mom would agree with you guys.
She would.
Is this a nickname, or is this your whole name?
Nope, that's my whole name, and my middle name is Tuck, because I was born on Nantucket.
Oh,
Dairy Tuck.
Have you got a couple of hippies for parents?
Well, you know, it was back in the 60s, so I suppose.
They sound like a couple of wackos.
And where does Dari come from?
Oh, my mom made it up, which kind of goes with the whole hippie
idea.
And where are you from now?
Red Lodge, Montana.
Red Lodge, Montana.
Montana.
What are you doing there?
My husband and the kids were getting ready to move to Wyoming this summer.
Really?
Yep.
And what did you name your kids, if I may dare to ask?
We named them McKenna and Colton.
Oh, that's not terrible.
I mean, no, not too hippie.
Not too hippie. do they have middle names, the kids?
Oh, they do. They do, but we digress.
No. What's McKenna's middle name?
McKenna's middle name is Daisy.
Daisy.
Daisy with a D.
Yeah, we got it.
And what's the other kid's name? Colton what?
Colton James.
James? What kind of a crazy name is that?
All right. Well, we've given you a hard enough
calling.
Time. Is there anything we can help you with?
Well, the funny thing is, you've heard the expression, the sky is falling.
Yeah.
In this case, we got a call from the dealer in Billings that the truck is falling. And the truck, we brought our truck to a dealership in Billings to get a sensor replaced, and we got a call that it fell 5 feet off the hydraulic lift.
Oh, what kind of an inept moron could drop a vehicle off a lift?
I know, and apparently the mechanic that was working on it is like NBA, you know, height. So it was like up as high as it could go.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh.
What kind of truck is it, and how old is it?
Well, it's a 2001 Chevy Silverado, and, of course, in Montana, we use it as our plow truck, so there was a couple hundred pounds of sandbags in the bed.
Oh.
So how much damage was done to the truck? Is it gonzo?
It has about $6,000 worth of damage to it.
Ah.
And they're willing, of course, to repair it, you know, covering their costs.
Yeah.
But we have kind of, our issues are, since we're getting ready to move, we don't know if we should keep the truck.
Yeah.
We don't know if we should trade the truck in with them for another used truck. We don't really want to pay for a new truck.
Right.
And then we don't know if maybe we should just sell it ourselves. And do we really have to tell someone what happened to it?
Oh, you got to tell. Let me see. Well, the windshield has a couple of scratches. And I fell off the lift. Yeah, I mean,
so we just need some advice from you guys. We don't know what to do with this truck that's been in an accident.
The funny part of it here is that the place that dropped it is also the place that told you what's wrong with it and the place where it's going to be fixed. And that's a kind of a funny combination.
Yeah, that smacks of conflict of interest, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they should not be the ones who are estimating what's wrong with it because they're the ones that did it.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah. I would certainly take it someplace else. I have to tell you,
I
had a little mishap one day, and I dropped a vehicle off the lift.
You didn't?
Yeah, I did. And it was not a truck. It was instead a Nissan Z, an older one.
Mm.
And it was totaled. And the reason it got totaled, maybe very different and from the circumstances surrounding your truck, even though it fell from about the same distance. Number one, your truck has a full frame, and as such, it probably didn't rack the body so that the frame turned into a parallelogram. The Nissan did.
Oh, okay.
And it was not fixable. But your truck probably suffered more body damage, and also the Nissan was very old, and the body was rusted, so it distorted
crumbled
a lot more readily.
Okay.
But who knows? I mean, I haven't seen the thing, so you have to take it some other place.
Okay.
And just take it to an independent body shop. And tell them what happened, and get an estimate. If they say, oh, the frame is, you know, is bent, and that may be the first thing they would do, I would. I'd send it to an alignment shop and see if the frame is, in fact, bent. And if it is, that should be the first thing you should try to fix.
Okay. Yeah.
So they think it's about $6,000 worth of damage.
Yep.
It doesn't, that sounds awfully low to me.
Well, so it was on the way up on the lift.
Actually, I think it was up there, and the way they explained it was that the teeth in one of the supports gave way, and then it kind of got hung up, and then it kind of crashed down.
Yeah, I'm sure there were a few tense moments in the shop. See, when I dropped the car off the lift, it was ba-da-boom. There was no hanging there. It just fell right off the lift. So, jeez. Yeah, now, I would take it some other place. I don't think I'd trust these guys. Tell them, look, it's not a matter of trust, but you need a second opinion because you're moving away, and you want to make sure that when something goes wrong, you're not going to be able to come back to these guys.
Right.
Because it's not going to be practical. So you have to make sure that the truck is A1, and not that you don't trust them, but you can certainly take it someplace else, get another opinion, and then take it back to these guys to have them fix it. Or, better than that, their insurance will pay for it.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, their insurance, if they don't have insurance, they'll pay for it out of pocket.
Okay, and it's easy enough to fix? Like, if they say they fixed it, it can be fixed?
Oh, if it's fixed and aligned,
okay,
then it's okay.
Then it'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but just in case, trade it in. No. Oh, good luck, Derry.
All right, thanks so much, guys. Great to talk to you.
Same here.
Just tell me this. When the customer came in to get the car that you dropped...
He didn't come in.
He didn't?
Well, he's too busy crying. No, I called him on the phone, and I had done other work to the car already. I told him, I said, I already changed the oil, and we fixed a coolant leak, and I dropped the car off the lift. And I don't think he was that upset until I started laughing. And I was laughing because, you know, you have that giddy laughter that you have when you've escaped death. And if for 1 second I could have been under the car.
Yeah.
And you would have been doing the show all by yourself for the last 15 years, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I was very lucky, and I conveyed that to him with my laughter.
And?
He didn't take kindly to that.
He didn't?
No, he didn't.
And did he bring any big guys to come with
him?
He
was a pretty big guy, but he, no, that's, I don't.
But was he angry? Was he?
Well, let's put it this way. He's never come back.
That's all I wanted to know.
888 Hard Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Little did he know that I would make his car famous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Todd in Orlando, Florida.
Hey, Todd. Hey. What's going on in Orlando, Florida?
Well, I've got a dilemma.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I convinced my girlfriend, who is in need of a car, to buy an older car because it was big, safe, and easy to work on.
Uh-huh.
What was it?
It was 1973 Ford LTD.
I think I've owned a couple of those in a previous life. Yeah. So you're no longer speaking, I take it.
Well, he's speaking, but she's not.
Did she move out?
You could say that. You could say that. The car has started belching black smoke and backfiring, and I can hear her coming minutes away. The last time she came over the condo to visit, it backfired severely and gave the neighbor's cat a heart attack. The cat died.
Really?
Yes. And, so I'm getting letters from the condo association, and to make matters worse, we had the bright idea of trying to get the neighbor a new cat. There's a stray in the condos that doesn't have a tail. My girlfriend named him Stumpy, so we seduced him in the house. As soon as I shut the door, he mauled me mercilessly.
Yeah, well, because he's a wild cat.
Apparently.
Yeah.
He jumped in the fish tank and ate about 4 fish, and that's all in about 20 seconds.
Todd, you got to quit while you're ahead, man, and you ain't ahead at this point. So quit before you fall any farther behind.
Well, that's why I'm calling. Now I'm trying to save my happy home.
Yeah. What do you want from us?
My happy relationship.
So you want to know what's wrong with the LTD?
No, he wants to know what's wrong with the cat.
Both.
Well, the cat, well, I'm sure you're
happy home, and my friend's under the impression that I'm the best mechanic that ever lived with this old car.
Oh, I see.
Your reputation is at stake here. If I had to guess, I'd say this vehicle is the right age to have a timing chain that's jumped. This has a 351 engine in it, and I'm pretty sure this had a plastic gear on the cam.
Didn't you have an LTD?
I used to. It caught fire in a.
Did it?
Yes, in
Montreal.
What
are the chances of that?
In the hotel. But anyway, I think you have a timing chain, that's jumped. And that would explain the backfiring, the belching smoke. I'm sure it runs lousy.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the easiest way to determine whether or not the chain has jumped is to put a timing light on it.
Okay.
And you're going to find out that the timing mark is nowhere to be found. In other words, when you hook the thing up to number one cylinder, every time that light flashes, it's supposed to illuminate the timing mark, and it's supposed to show up on the grid. I don't know what the spec is for this thing, but I'm guessing you're not going to be able to find the mark. It's going to be so far off, it's going to tell you the chain has jumped.
You can do this, but...
What's your level of... How would you assess, on a scale of 1 to 5, your level of mechanical expertise or competence?
I'd say I'm a shade tree mechanic on the far end of the pasture.
On the far end. Well, I mean, getting the crank pulley off is going to be...
This is not easy.
That's going to be the biggest stumbling block. That's going to freeze you right in your tracks right there.
Okay.
So when you can't get that off, you'll have to take it someplace. But the good news is, this is easy to do, given the right tools. And it's a few $100 job.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's worth doing.
Oh, yeah, because...
How many miles are this thing?
You'll never replace those fish, but it'll make get your girlfriend back in the house. Good luck, Todd, and I hope they don't drum you out of the Condo Association.
Well, thank you, guys.
All righty. And by the way, this just to add a little salt to the wound, this is not, even though it's a big car, it's by no means anywhere near as safe. I mean, I'd rather be driving a Hyundai Accent.
Yeah,
than
which
driving
is
this
quarter
thing.
The size of this,
because,
but it has airbags.
Yeah, a brand new one, because it has, side airbags. It has so many things that this vehicle doesn't have. Anti-lock brakes and things which this LTD, doesn't possess.
That's a very good point. Well, I appreciate that.
So I would fix it up and sell it and then buy her a modern car with, airbags and anti-lock brakes and the like. And I think she'll be a lot safer.
Yeah. She'll visit you more often, too.
Good luck, Todd.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck.
Oh, man.
He's going to need it. Oh, tried to lure the cat in. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford, and our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Burmese, canned peas, cottage cheese, iced teas, and takeout Cantonese taste teas, is John Pugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our sidewalk clothing vendor is Chip Pence. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our ornithologist in training is Luke A. Boyd. Our staff tailor is Yu Jass. Our Russian chauffeur is Peacock and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey. Known to the... They're going to throw us off the air. Known to the art history grads selling macrame pot holders in Harvard Square as Hugh Lewis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Our staff tailor, Hugh Jass. Why didn't we think of him before? We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though cardiologists everywhere say, "Oh, pass the trans fat," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.